said that.
Because that Bible's turned to Romans chapter 11, if you read verses 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and of knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? And who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We've been looking at the hope for the people of Israel. Paul has been addressing that salvation is by faith, but the Jewish people stumbled over the stumbling stone because they thought they could earn their salvation. And Paul addresses, did God abandon Israel? No. Has God given up on Israel? Is there still hope for Israel? And Paul explains the reason why. He says there's a hardening of the hearts of the Jewish people until the full number of the Gentiles comes in. But it's not all of Israel that has a hardened heart. Paul says, I am proof that God still reaches out and people of Jewish background can become believers. The 12 apostles, they were all Jewish men. The church in Jerusalem at Pentecost, 3,000 Jewish believers, and it spread out from there. The message started with the Jewish people. But Paul says there's been a hardening of the hearts of the Jewish people for a time so that the message can go out to the Gentiles. And the message going out to the Gentiles, they shouldn't boast about it, the Gentiles, and unless we are of Jewish heritage, that's us, shouldn't boast that we've replaced Israel. We have not. Some might say that Israel was broken off of God's tree and we were put onto God's tree. No. Israel was not broken off so that we could be grafted in. But we were grafted in and there was plenty of room for Israel too. But God's message going out to the Gentiles in part was to provoke jealousy among the Jewish people so they'll be drawn to Christ. And the message to the Gentiles, they are the first fruit of believers. And if God's plan to save everyone by faith is seen as good, then everyone saved by faith, the plan is good. God has one plan for salvation. Has always had one plan for salvation, is salvation by faith. And it's all about God, because God is the one who saves us. It's because of his grace. It's because of what he does that we don't immediately face God's judgment when we sin. It's God's forgiveness that clears our debt of sin. It's God who draws us to himself, showing us through the Holy Spirit that we are sinners and we need to repent. It is God's sacrifice on the cross that pays the debt of our sin. It is God's love for us, not our love for him, that saves us. And it is his power. We need to remember that it's all about God. And Israel, there's coming a time when the time of the Gentiles comes to an end, and we don't know for sure when that's going to be. But God will restore Israel to its proper place, and they will be the the spokesman for God. We see that in Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 to 8. And in Revelation 7, 4 to 8, it talks about the 12,000 from each tribe of Israel that will be the spokesman. And, if you will, 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams going around proclaiming the good news. So, who should get the credit? Who should get the praise? Who should get the glory? Well, it starts in verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, the Library of Congress, I don't know if you've ever been there and seen it. Well, I'll just start with the library that down here in Montgomery County. There's 150,000 different books there. Well, the Library of Congress has over 20 billion different books and items in it. That's a lot of books to read. If you want to know everything in every book, it's going to take you a long time. I don't think you can even just go and touch 20 million things in your lifetime, much less read every book. But God knows everything in every book, and He knows which things are true and which things are lies. God knows everything. That's the knowledge of God. There are a lot of people that know a lot of things, but they don't know how to use it. Knowing how to use your knowledge is wisdom. The right way to use things. Sometimes, you probably met people like this. They have to tell you everything they know because they don't know that they don't need to say it. Some things you know you don't need to say. The best thing that wisdom can tell you, you got two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. So you should listen and look four times as much as you talk. Wisdom comes by knowing when to be silent. It also comes from knowing the truth, knowing when to speak up. And then Paul goes on and says, how unsearchable are his judgments and untraceable his ways. Now, I like to watch mysteries, detective mysteries, and see how they solve crimes. And when I was teaching in high school, one of the courses I taught was forensic science and examining all the evidence. And there's a neat show that was out for a while called The Forensic Files. And they would follow the clues. Well, the word here that says how untraceable are his ways, that means you can't track God. You can't go and follow his footprints. His ways are beyond our understanding. His judgments are beyond our wisdom. A lot of times, the Supreme Court makes a decision, and we don't understand why they made that decision. And many of the decisions are not unanimous. They're made with just a portion of the Supreme Court. A lot of decisions are 5-4 votes. And you wonder sometimes why or how people are they say some things are right and some things are wrong, when it's clearly obvious if we study God's word that their decisions disagree with God's word. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 34, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Now sometimes times I have trouble with my own mind when, you know, it's, I start thinking about something, I get distracted, I forget what I thought about. And I know I was thinking about something else. And sometimes there might be a clue, like, ah, I've got a gavel in my hand. Why do I have a gavel in my hand? Well, sometimes I get distracted. I'm sometimes like the dogs in the movie Up when they see a squirrel. Squirrel! Yep. And they lose track of everything else they were doing. Well, God never loses focus and loses track of what he was doing and what he was thinking. And who can understand the thoughts and the ways of God? Now, we keep trying to discover all the things that God has created. And the more we look, the more we discover that we didn't know what we thought we knew. As we look out at the vastness of the universe, why aren't planets bumping into each other all the time? You know, just the other day, there was a meteor that went by at Huntsville. Why aren't they coming in all the time? We saw, I remember back, there's a this comet coming, Shoemaker-Levy. And we saw part of the awesome design of God. Jupiter grabbed that thing that was headed to Earth and sucked it in, broke it apart. Shoemaker-Levy comet ended up not coming to Earth, but being caught by these big planets that God has placed in our solar system. You know, if you look at the design of the planets, you got a lot of great big planets on the outside, and then we're on the inside. It's sort of like a football lineup. You got a quarterback. But in front of you got some great big linemen that protect the quarterback, but it's their job to protect the quarterback from getting sacked, getting hit, and giving him time to make his play. Well, God has designed the universe. And if we look smaller and smaller, we keep finding more and more detail of how God has knit every single atom together. Who did God ask advice of? You know, what should I do here? God didn't go and convene the angels and said, you know, I'm not sure what to do. What do you think I should do? Now, the President of the United States, he has different advisors that help him in different areas. Now, the heads of most of the departments are called secretaries. And those secretaries are part of the president's cabinet, and they give him advice and things, and then he makes a decision, because the president of the United States doesn't know everything. No matter who is the president of the United States, they have never known everything. They need advice from other people, but God never needs advice. He knows the best thing to do every time. And verse 35 said, and who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? Now, right now, the U.S. national debt is over $39 trillion. That means every single person living in the U.S. owes $113,676. Every taxpayer owes $357,068. That's when I first wrote this down right before. It's probably a lot higher right now because there's a thing you go look at what debt clock, and it's just showing the numbers spinning like this, going up and up, more and more debt. Well, God didn't borrow money from anybody. doesn't owe anyone anything. Everything belongs to the Lord. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty." And in Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12, it tells, "All the animals belong to God." Everything that is alive belongs to God. Everything is God. He made everything. And that's why it says in verse 36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." God made everything. In Job chapters 40 and 41, now, in chapter 1 and 2, we see Satan coming before God and wanting to mess with Job's life. And Satan is saying, "You know, let me mess with him and he'll curse you." God said, "No, he won't." Satan messed with Job's life and all he had, and he didn't curse God. And then Job has some friends come. They sit with him for a long time. And then they start telling him he's doing wrong. And they're using their wisdom. But at the end, in chapter 40, God says, "All you people give your advice to Job, you're wrong. Job is right. And let me tell you a few things. Let me tell you about Behemoth." Now, Behemoth is a description of the great big dinosaur, the one with the big long neck and the big long tail. Some people say it is a description of the elephant, but as it describes his tail, it said his tail is as big as a cedar tree, and when he swings it, it knocks things down. You ever see the tail of an elephant? The size of a handle on the gavel. Some people say that it has to be an elephant because people didn't live at the same time as dinosaurs. Yes, they did. God created the dinosaurs on day 6, the same day he created man. Behemoth, the largest of the land-dwelling animals. And then he talks about Leviathan. Leviathan, we might describe, he likes hearing about dinosaurs. Leviathan is basically a fire-breathing dragon. You know, we say those are myths, but God describes it. His scales are knit together, and even air can penetrate. No weapon can penetrate it. He breathes fire from his nostrils. Who can put a hook in the mouth of a lion? Sometimes we write off extinct creatures as just being make-believe. But as we look at the description that God describes this, the fire-breathing dragon. And that the word dragon is the word that was used before they invented the word dinosaur. And even in the 13 and 1400s, there's written description of what we would call dinosaurs, even flying dinosaurs, like the pterodactyls, being described. God created everything. And he's telling in Job chapter 40 and 41, "I made all these great creatures that you're not even going to go mess with." I bet you God says, "But go try to touch Leviathan and you will pay the price and you'll never do it again. Don't play a game of tag with Leviathan. He doesn't play nicely." But then God also says, "I put all the stars in the sky and I know them all by name." God made everything, and every whatever you have is just on loan to you. When you die, it goes someplace else. And ultimately, God is the one that still owns everything. So what should we do? To him be the glory forever. Amen. Everything belongs to God. Everything's from God. He's the one that gives everything. So we need to be able and need to focus on praising him. And that word amen means truly. Let it be so. Indeed. Or it is true. So anytime you see that word amen, I mean, that's right. It's true. We should give glory to God. It's true. Everything belongs to God. It's true. What should be our focus? Giving God credit. You know, Lana avoided the 4-hour long TSA lines when she flew out, and missed most a long time when she came back. And in Washington, there are people trying to take credit for ending this problem with the government shutdown and TSA workers not getting a paycheck, and other people trying to put the blame on somebody, and they're not settling the issue because they want to get credit themselves. Look, I'm the one that solved this, or my group of people solved this, instead of looking at what about let's not look at giving credit for ourselves. Let's look at giving God credit and do what he needs. It's amazing what can get done when people don't care if they give credit. That's like God giving credit in every situation. Stay on me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you that everything belongs to you. That you are the one that created everything. You are the one that holds everything together. You are the one that gives gifts to us to be used for a time. And you are the one that has provided a way for us to be with you forever by your forgiveness of our sin, because you paid the price. Lord, we don't owe you. You don't. You are not owed anything by us except our praise. No one gave you anything that you have to pay them back. You don't have a debt to us, but we have a debt to you. Let us give you the praise and